Hello and welcome to the ICIS Europe Chemical Update podcast. I'm Vicky Ellis, and with me today is Claire Pennington, who is our ethanol market reporter in Europe. And she's going to be talking about the outlook for the market, the fuel ethanol market, that is, go through some of the uncertainties that are really plaguing producers and whether that could create some big winners and big losers in the industry. So, Claire, thanks for joining us. What is the price situation at the moment? It's been very interesting. I know you've been paying a lot of attention recently.
If you look at May last year, average spot prices for Rotterdam fuel ethanol on a free on board basis standing at around 580 to over 600 euros per cubic meter. Then after that, prices fell below 500 last October and stayed around 460 or so, perhaps going down to 450 or up to 480 even after that. But they've been below 450 since March this year, 2018. But while the averages look fairly stable, the low price points have been historic. We've had a low of 419 euros per cubic metre at the beginning of May. And now, yeah, prices are still sort of fairly low historically. They're not negative for everyone in the market, but the mood with a lot of participants has been low on the production and supply side in recent months. Each plant and company will have its own level of diversification, efficiency and contingency preparedness. But anecdotally, at least, producers are saying that prices are pushing their margins into the red and that they are hurting. Crop Energies actually came out with their financial results and was saying that, you know, that they see next year as okay because of the animal feed prices. But, you know, that they are seeing lower ethanol prices for the next year coming as well, and are saying that they're going to be making efficiency savings.
Interesting that you mentioned Crop Energies there, because a couple of years ago, I think it was 2015, they closed the plant in the UK, Ensis, because that price was at a similar level to where we are now, around the sort of 420 level. I know that's the historic low you're mentioning. So it's clear that that can be a bit of a pain point for some producers. Can you tell us why prices are just so low?
Well, I mean, I think there are lots of reasons. There are all sorts of complications. Feedstocks, different parts of the market can all have an influence and knock-on effect. But really, the key points are threefold. And those would be really the end of the sugar quota in Europe for the 2017-18 harvest. Sugar production shot up, and so ethanol production, sugar production has gone up. And that's also reflected in falling sugar prices around the world. On average over the last sort of few months. After that, you've got political economic uncertainty. The crop cap could perhaps affect some producers, and you've had sort of uncertainty over anti-dumping duties for fuel ethanol coming from the US. There are also some talks about Mercosur, so there could have been some of the South American duties potentially changing, and all that seems to have just been put on delay, and those questions haven't really been ultimately answered. So at the moment, you've got a court case going on over anti-dumping duties with one particular American producer, Marquis, contesting the commission, basically. And then you've also got an investigation into the duties being conducted as well on a European level by the commission, but separately from the courts. So it's quite complex, really. And then you've also got individual country legislation, which can complicate things. And then after that, you've just got Europe's growing production capacity. I was talking to a contact the other day, and they were saying to me that over the last 5 years, the actual production capacity in Europe has really grown ever since anti-dumping duties were put on US fuel ethanol, really. And some of the newer plants in Europe have quite high production capacities and are quite efficient. It's just a supply-demand balance as well in the European market.
Okay, so I think you've painted that picture for us really well of that low prices, that extra capacity. What does that mean for the winner? Somebody's got to be benefiting from this.
It is hard to know exactly who is benefiting, across the entire sort of chain. But, obviously the buyers are going to be the winners here. That is very normal. It's cheap prices. It's a good opportunity for refiners and for other big players to kind of stock up. They could also be wanting to support the market. So there will be some players who don't perhaps want to see prices fall too low to the point where they don't have access to ethanol because it affects the market so badly. I think the really complex area is really around traders and brokers, because you'll have people dealing in paper markets and in physical and carry markets. So, I mean, carry is really just when you buy at a low price and you store and sell later at a higher price. People who might have been trying to do that earlier this year are clearly going to be losers, as are people who bought paper, you know, for May, and then the prices were much lower. That will also, you know, whether you bought paper prices for May or not will affect what your profits are. And so really it just depends what bets you've been making in the market almost. You know, when you've got an extreme, you're going to have people who lose out and people who really win, and what position people have taken. And I'm hearing that, you know, there are some that have taken, you know, quite strong positions, and there are some that are really suffering and therefore just don't want to be in the market right now.
Sounds like some interesting stuff and slightly nail-biting moments for some of the people in the market then. So there's been a lot going on at the start of 2018. What's next for the market? What do we need to be looking out for?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think the first issue is really that political uncertainty. You know, the European Parliament is debating at the moment the RED legislation for the next sort of 10 years up to 2030 or 2032, thereabouts, depending on the different legislations that they're looking at. And really that will set pollution sort of standards, what the targets are for greenhouse gas emission reductions, and will set the standards for each individual country. And I think, you know, depending on whether, I mean, let's take a recent example, Spain. They recently decided to double count fuel ethanol. And that could actually reduce the amount of fuel ethanol being bought. So it could be a positive thing for neighbouring countries, but it could be negative for Spanish producers. And I think really, if let's say we end up with much higher rewards for non-crop-based biofuels, that will be a positive thing for a few producers. But it really depends, you know, and that could hurt some others, or that could force others to invest in greater efficiencies. And so I think, you know, as that occurs, that could help producers plan for the next 10 years, and it'll be a positive thing, but they will have to look at their numbers and really think about whether or not, you know, this will be a viable market for them once they understand better how the legislation is going to work and what the standards will be. I mean, there are two plants that are actually on sale at the moment in Europe, which shows that there have been some difficulties anyway from producers in the last 2 or 3 years. That's the other thing, these kind of pressures, along with the low prices, really do increase competition. And, you know, there have been some players talking about, you know, this increased competition perhaps resulting in the need for some producers to go out of the market. I mean, that is a very extreme situation, so I really don't want to suggest that is certainly going to happen, because it could well be a very different situation. We just don't know. But, you know, that is something that players are also talking about, is perhaps some kind of consolidation even going on. Yeah, so that's really what we're looking at, is what is the landscape going to look like in terms of legislation, in terms of anti-dumping duties, all of that, and what is after we understand that, and the pressures of this year, what is the supply-demand ratio kind of going to be looking like in the future?
Wow, so a huge amount going on, so much uncertainty. It sounds like the market hasn't really changed from when I was covering it, because it continues to be complex and constantly moving. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for explaining that, Claire. Now, for the listeners, please do join us again for the next instalment of the ICIS Europe Chemical Update podcast. Or, of course, you can always catch up with all the latest news on the ICIS dashboard. For ICIS here in London, I'm Vicky Ellis.